Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Lamed Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Says the Gemara two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. We go back to our discussion regarding the Chiv Tvila prior to entering the Azara. Even if one knows with certainty that he's Torah, we learn in the Mishnah that there's a Chiv Tvila before entering the Azara. How do we understand this halacha? We actually have three approaches. Shitas Ben Zoyma was, it's a Din Torah, learned through a Kal Vachomer from the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, who is required to have many Tvilas when switching from one location to the other, from outside to inside, from inside to outside. Certainly, when you're switching from a Makim Choyl into the Makim Kodesh, a Tvila is in place. So according to Ben Zoyma's approach, it's a Chiv Min HaTorah. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees. He says, there's no Chiv Min HaTorah. It's only Edin D'Rabbanan. And this will be used as a means to awaken some old lost memory. K'day Lizker Tuma Yishana will jog his memory and perhaps bring to the surface some old Tuma that he still has on him. And as a result of that, he'll refrain from entering the Azara. So it's just Edin D'Rabbanan. There's a third Shita. This is the way Rashi learns. He's a third Shita, Shita's Rabbanon, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. A typical, ordinary person does not need a Tvila. The only time we require Tvila is by Metzora, who was heavily engaged in Tuma for a long time. So even if he was Tevel the previous night, we're concerned that perhaps in the interim, he became Tame again. So he needs to be Tevel today, again, prior to entering the Azar. Says the Gemara two lines from the bottom, Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye asks Rav Yosef a question. If you suppose that this Tvila is only Midrabon, let's adopt that approach. If that's the case, Tvila zu choytetz, oy einoy choytetz. We know generally speaking, if one has a chatzitza on his body as some sort of barrier, preventing the water from reaching him, that disrupts the Tvila. What about this Tvila Midrabon? Does a chatzitza interfere or not? Choytetz or einay choytetz? Now, why would I think chatzitza wouldn't interfere? Asks Tosis, why would this be different than any other tefillah derabbanan? For instance, those tefillahs in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, many, many tefillahs mid derabbanan, we don't find any such discussion, any shiloh of whether chatzitza would affect it or not. We assume that, yeah, it's just like any other tefillah. Why would I differentiate? Says Tosis, because here it's different. In a case where Chachamim apply a tumah to a person, yeah, then that conforms to standard guidelines. You have to follow the regular procedure. You're tamei, do tefillah. Tefillah is tefillah is tefillah. It doesn't make a difference. Why you're being tevel? Fact is, you're being considered tamei, whether it's midaraisa, midrabanan, you have to do tefillah to address that tumah. And therefore, in that case, certainly chatzitza plays a role. But over here, says Tosfos, where there really is no chashash tumah, in reality, he knows he's tar. It's a ma'ala ba'alma. It's a chumri yaseira. It's an added stringency that requires this type of procedure. So this tefillah is different. It's just to awaken some sort of memory that he might have embedded in his conscience. So perhaps just a ma'asa tefillah, even with a chatzitza, is sufficient to accomplish that goal. That's the Gemara Shaila. Now, there's another explanation, because really, what good is tefillah with a chatzitza? Fine, so Tosis differentiates. He says, this is only a ma'asa tefillah, and it's not really coming to address tumah. But a tefillah with a chatzitza, we suppose, is really worthless, because there's no contact between water and body. So what's the point of being tefillah with a chatzitza? There's so wonderful pshat, the name of Reb Chaim Brisker. He says like this, a tefillah, even with a chatzitza, is a ma'asa tefillah. We learn, the Gemara teaches us that tefillah is poisal. A chatzitza is poisal the tefillah. So of course he's in the water. There was a ma'asa, he calls it a ma'asa bi'as mayim. The person has entered water. He's underwater. So as far as the gavra, in brisk terms, the gavra, the person, is immersed. He has been toivel. Problem is, there was some sort of barrier. The water didn't entirely come into contact with his entire guf. That's called a chatzitza. That's a poisel. It invalidates the tefillah. It acts against the tefillah. It contradicts the tefillah. It's poisel, the tefillah. But there was a tefillah there. Therefore, when you have to really do a tefillah minat Torah, or even, as Tosis points out, when a tefillah is required min Rabbana to remove tumah, then you have to follow the standard procedure. You can't have chatzitza. But the chatzitza will come along and invalidate the ma'isa tefillah. Although you did a tefillah, but the chatzitza comes and negates the tefillah. But perhaps, in this case, where it's just a resemblance of tefillah, perhaps even a ma'isa tefillah is sufficient, despite the fact that there's a chatzitza there, Chacham didn't go to that extent and say it has to follow the standard procedure where even a chatzitza would invalidate, would negate the tefillah. No, a ma'isa tefillah, where he's going through the procedure, that'll be enough. That'll be enough to evoke some sort of forgotten memory. That'll be enough. So that's the Gemara's Shiloh. Is a tefillah, even with a chatzitza, enough or no? Perhaps we follow standard procedure, and once we require a tefillah, it needs to fit the bill. It needs to follow proper procedure. Chaytetz or any chaytetz. Amar Leih, Rabbi Yisrael responded, certainly, yeah. You have to follow standard procedure called the Tikkun Rabbanon. Whenever the Chachamim established the Takana, it generally mirrors, it emulates, it follows, it's modeled after the Takana Daraisa, meaning Chacham said B'Toivel, they meant just do a tefillah the way you're supposed to. Just as you would do it in Atreira, you do the same in the Rabbanon. We don't differentiate. I have another Shaila. So we say, before entering the Azora, you need to be B'Toivel. What if only a part of him enters the Azor, a partial kenisa, his hand, his foot. Bia b'miktsas, a partial entry. Shema bia, is it considered like an entry and requires tzvila, oilai, or perhaps not? How far did the Chachamim go? Do you actually have to enter into the Azor? Even a partial entry is enough. Amalei, so he responded, I'll bring a raya. Behoinais yechichu. I'll bring a raya from the behoinais, the thumbs. We had a brisa yesterday. That a mitzvah has to be toivel before doing what? He's not going to enter the Azara in his state of Mechus HaKippurim. All he's doing is extending his thumb into the Azara. What do we see from there? B'hoini she'chichu, she'hen bia b'miktsas, despite the fact that it's only a partial entry, a tefillah is required. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, mitzvah toivel v'oimed b'shar niknor. He has to be toivel, and then positions himself in shar niknor, and puts his thumbs into the Azor. So again, the answer is yes. Bia b'miktsas is considered. Ivoilu, the Bnei Yeshiva, asked the following shayla. What about the following case? Ma'u she'yasa sakin aruka. What if this fellow brought along a long knife? V'yishchot. Decided to do shchita from outside the Azor. Is that okay without tefillah? He's not entering the Azor, but he is engaged in avoida. And the question applies twofold. Because remember, we have Ben Zoyma, on the one hand, who says, this chiyav, tefillah is minat Torah. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the Rabbana who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. They don't even apply a tefillah to a midrabbana, to an ordinary person, except in certain situations, like a mitzvah, because he was daish betumah, he was heavily involved in tumah. So that's the other side of the spectrum. They never require tefillah, except by a mitzvah. So this question of ma'o shiyasa sakin aruka v'yishchit, can a person bring along a long knife and do shchita from outside the Azor and be exempt from tefillah applies to Ben Zoyma and to the Rabban. What do we mean? Tiboilu Ben Zoyma, the question could be asked according to Ben Zoyma, who says that this chiyuv tefillah is min ha-Torah. Tiboilu Rabban, likewise, it could be asked according to the Rabban, who say there is no chiyuv tefillah for your typical person. Perhaps this will be different. Let's see. Tiboy le Rabbanon de pligi oled Rabbi Yudah. The question will apply to the Rabbanon Shita, who disagrees with Rabbi Yudah and they hold there's no chiyuv tefillah. Explains the Gemara Tiboy le Ben Zoyma. This question could be posed in accordance with Shita's Ben Zoyma, who is mechayev tefillah upon entry and is chayev min ha-Torah. Ad kalam kamachai ben zoyma. Perhaps ben zoyma only obligates tevila elo legavoy. When one actually enters. So the fact he's actually being nichas la zora, that requires tevila. Aval leburoi loy, but if he's still outside, there's no need for tevila here. Despite the fact that he's involved in avoida. He's not in the makam kodesh. The makam kodesh is what triggers the chiv tevila. Oidilmo, perhaps you can say, asalim shuchi. Although he's actually outside, but he might be drawn. He might get pulled after his carbon. Well, once he's doing shechita, you know, the carbon might move. He might have to follow the carbon, or for whatever other reason, he might decide to get drawn to his carbon and into the Beis HaMikdash. So there is that concern present. And therefore, perhaps a tefillah is in place, despite the fact that he claims to be standing outside, but he might get drawn in. And therefore, chiv tefillah would apply. And Tosfos asks, well, we have a Gemara in Zvachim, which tells us that a person who's tamei should not do shechita l'chatchila. Why? Because he might actually touch the behemoth. Asks Tosfos, it seems from the Gemara that we're not choshesh that osilim shuche, that he might get drawn after his behemoth. He might touch it somehow, but we're not choshesh that he'll actually follow the behemoth to the Azor. And here we see that we are choshesh. The Gemara poses this as a concern. Why that discrepancy between two Gemaras? V'yishlemes says Tosfos, there's a big difference. When we're speaking about a tummy, there's less chance that he'll get drawn into the Azor. He knows. He's meant to stay out. He knows that he's in a state of tummy. He doesn't belong in the Azor. So over there, the chashash is not that he'll get drawn into the Azor. The chashash is only that he might actually come into contact with his carbon somehow. But in our case, where we're speaking about a person who considers himself completely tar, here there's a greater chashash that it might inadvertently get pulled into the Azara, Asalim Shuche, and therefore perhaps he should do tefillah prior to getting involved with his Masa Shechita. So that's one shayla in the Gemara. According to Shita's Ben Zoyma, Chiv Tefillah is Ben HaTorah. What about if he's not entering the Azara? He's just doing Shechita from outside. Is he potter from tefillah? Or perhaps he should be tevil because he might actually end up in the Azara. Continues the Gemara, Tiboy L'Rabbanan. Same question could be applied according to Shita's Rabbanan. The Pligyalei, the Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, they hold that there's no Chiv Tefillah ever. Ad kan leka Amir Rabban Hosam. Perhaps this Shita of the Rabbanan is only over there. The leka Ovid Avoida. A fellow is entering the Azora but not doing Avoida. Fine. We don't find a Chiv Tefillah. Aval Hocha. The ka Ovid Avoida. As opposed to this case where he's actually engaged in Avoida. Loi. This is different. Perhaps Tefillah is required. Maybe somehow we'll learn it through Kavah Chomer from the Kohen Gadol. We see Tefillah is required when he switches from one Avodah to the other. Certainly when he's coming from nothing to something, from non-Avodah to Yavodah, a Tefillah is required. So maybe this carries more weight. It's different than just entering the Azara. Oidilmo, or perhaps Leishnot, there's no difference. According to the Shita, there's never Chiv Tefillah, whether he enters the Azara or even if he's engaged in Avodah. Take it, we leave it unresolved. So we have three shailas regarding this tefillah prior to entering the Azara. Does a chatzitza apply? Yes. Hilchas chatzitza applied here as well. Is a partial entry considered? Yes, it is. What if he's engaged in avoida from outside the Azara? There was no knisa, but there was avoida. Question was, according to Ben Zoyma, who's very machmer? But perhaps this is different because he's outside. Or maybe Choshesh they'll get drawn in to the Azor. That's one shaila. The shaila applies to the Rabban, who is very makel. Generally, don't require a tefillah. Well, perhaps this is different. He's not only entering; he's actually involved in avoda. So, although it's from the outside, he's involved in avoda. Maybe tefillah is in place, and we leave it. Take. Continues the Gemara. Chamish tefillahs v'asura kedushin tevil. Kain gadol yom kippur. We do 5 tefillahs and 10 times kiddush yodayim v'raglayim from the kiyur. Ton Rabbanon. Chamesh tefillos, v'asara kiddushin, toivil kohen gadol, u'me kaddish, boy boyo. Throughout Yom Kippur, does 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin. V'chulon ba'kodesh. All of these are meant to take place in a mokum kaddish, we'll learn it from a pasuk, v'rochetz mokum kaddish. So all the kiddushin, all the tefillos, v'chulon ba'kodesh, be'beis ha'parva. All the tefillos took place on the rooftop of the beis ha'parva that had a mikvah there for him. And it was considered a makom kaddish. Asks Tosfos, we know that gagin of aliyos loy niskatru, rooftops, upper floors, even in the Azara, don't have Kedushas Azara. Why do we consider the mikveh, which was situated on the rooftop of Beis HaParva, to be a Makam Kaddish? Answers Tosfos. Veishleimar, Gag Beis HaParva ha-yoshaveh l'kaka Azara. Actually, the Beis HaParva was a below-level structure, and the rooftop was the same level as the Karka Azara, which case is considered part of the Azara area and has Kedush. Continues the Gemara, so all the tefillahs took place in this location, which was in the Azara. Chutz Merishon, except for the first tefillah, which was conducted prior to entering the Azara, which of course had to take place outside the Azara. Shalei Sebachoy was outside the Azara, Al Gabi Sharamayim, on top of the Sharamayim. Ubit Sadish Kosa Hoysa was next to his room, Kohen Gadol's room. Amar Rabbi, Shema Mina, we can conclude from this, Ein Itam, the source of the mikveh, the water flowed from a spring called Ein Itam, which was the next mountain over. That source, that spring, supplied the water for this mikveh, which was situated where? On top of the Shar HaMayim. Says Abaye, we can conclude from this, how tall, how high Ein Itam was. Ein Itam Gavoya Makaka Azara was actually elevated from the Azara level, Esrim V'Sholish Amis, was 23 Amis higher in elevation from the Karka Azara. Why is that? And what's it negate to us? So Rashi says here, right in the middle of the Amid, Ein Itam, Mimenu Bo Amas Hamayim, Leveis Tvilas Shar Hamayim. Ein Itam supplied water for this mikveh, which was situated above the Shar HaMayim. Sha'alachim. Ulufi inyan ha-makrois, looking through the psukim, says Rashi, nearly it appears to me, this Ein Itam is actually Shu Mayan Min Aftoyach, Ha'amar B'Sevi Yeshua. This is the Min Aftoyach described over there. Shemesham ha-gvul m'shapeya v'yorid, l'mizrach l'mariv. This was the high point in Eretz Yisrael, the highmost point in Eretz Yisrael. And from there, the Gvul, the boundary, would slope downward to Mizrach and to Marav. V'hu ha-gavoya b'chol Eretz Yisrael. This was the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. And it seems like it was the Gvul of Yehuda that we're discussing. And being that this was the highest point, so going east it would go downward, and likewise going west. V'ach musad Abaye. What's the point of Abaye speaking about the elevation, 23 amos? What's the point? Damrina bezvachim, somer mivnayi lebeis hamigdash b'ayin itam. They figured, let's build the Beis HaMikdash on the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, ayin itam. Then they decided, no, amri nichsi be'purta. Let's lower it a bit. Nichsiv of being safe of shachin. The pasuk describes the Beis HaMikdash, the makam shechinah, as being safe between the shoulders, a lower point, not on top of the head, but the shoulder area. Which means it's not meant to be at the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. The next mountain over, a bit lower than Ein Itam, the Shamina Minei. Shugavai Menakot, we learn from this that Ein Itam was higher than the Beis HaMikdash. V'lei Parash Menoli, and the Gemara doesn't explain where we got this from. How do we know that it was the highest point, the Parash Le'Abaye Ochan? Abaye proves it over here. Continues Rashi, Gavoya Mekarka Azora Esr Mishalash Amis. We're going to prove that Ayin Itam evidently was 23 amas higher than the Azor. Why? Kimidas goyva sharamayim. It needed to be higher than the Azorah, the same height as the sharamayim. Ubinin kli shal sholish amas milimala. Lahach sekar boim so. It had to be 23 amas higher than the Azor. Why? Because the sharamayim, on which the mikveh was situated, was 20 amas high. Plus you have the actual mikveh itself, which is 3 amas high. And that proves that the water source was also 23 amas higher than the Azor. She'i efshar l'mayim lalis lahar, she'gavoya mimakim shenoivim sham. We know scientifically, water will only rise back to the original level. Suppose you have a straw, and you pour water in, you bend the straw in half, the water on the other side will rise, the end point of the water will equal and level the level of the starting point. Same thing here. Apparently, underground water works the same way. Somehow there's the vacuum effect. That if we have an in-ground source of water, a spring coming down from Ein Itam, which is high up, it will eventually make its way back up through the underground stream, all the way to the same level. The final destination will be equal in level to its original point of departure. So how do we get water up to the top of the Shar HaMayim? It wouldn't rise higher than its source, apparently, says Abayi. The source of this spring, the Ein Itam, was Oshli, also 23 amas higher than the Azara. So it began 23 amas high, came all the way down to the Beis HaMikdash, and then would rise, I suppose, in ground, all the way up to the top of the Shar HaMayim, up to the Mikvah, which was exactly 23 amas higher than the Karka Azara. So the level of the Mikvah would equal the level of its starting point. Let's go back to the Gemara. 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Abayi, once again, Shema Mino, we can conclude from this, being that the Mikvah was situated on top of Shar HaMayim, now we can figure out how high Shar HaMayim Ein Itam was, the source of the spring. Ein Itam, Gevoya Mekarka Azara, Esrim Shalosh Amos. Apparently the source of the spring was also 23 Amos higher than the Karka Azara. That's not. Kol HaPsachim Shoyu Sham, all the entranceways in the Beis HaMikdash were Goyvan Esrim Amo, V'Rochvan Esrim Amos, were 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide. Chutz Mishal Ulam, except the one by the Ulam, which was 20 by 40 by 20. So we know that you have to account for 20 amas higher than the Karka Azara, just to get to the top of Shar HaMayim. How tall was the actual mikveh itself? At least 3 amas. V'tanya, v'rachatz, the pasuk says, v'rachatz, b'mayim, es kol besoroi. We learn from here as follows. You meant to go into the mikveh, b'mayim, v'rachatz b'mayim, the water, the known water. What does that mean? V'rachatz besoroi, b'mayim, b'mei mikveh. It has to be unique waters. It can't be drawn with a kli ma'im shuvin. Also, it has to be stationary water. It has to be a makam of ma'im. That's number one. From the words kol besari, we learn that the water of the mikveh has to have the capacity, has to accommodate a person all at once. It has to be large enough so that a person can enter all at once. Ma'im shekol gufay oileben. How much is that? How large an area? V'kamehen, amma, al amma, an amma by an amma, brum gimel amois, with 3 amois height. So it needs to be at a minimum of 1 by 1 by 3. We know from here that the mikveh was 3 amos higher than the Shar HaMayim. Evidently, Ein Itam, which was the source of the spring, needed to be 23 amos higher, had to be elevated 23 amos beyond the Karka Azara, which would allow and enable this water to rise to the same height. This is Esakashi. He says, how do you know that the mikveh was 3 amos tall, maybe had a flat mikveh? So it was 3 by 1 by 1. So he says, Mestama, they did it in a way which was convenient for the Kohen Gadol. He was weakened on that day. He was fasting. He was chulsa the Kohen Gadol. And we assume they fashioned the mikveh to his convenience. And it's much easier to be toivel standing up. So we assume the mikveh was 1 by 1 by 3 in height, which required the water to rise to the level of 23 amos higher than the Kakazor. V'shir chachamim estimated may mikveh arba'im so. How much water is required to fill up this water hole? 1 by 1 by 3, 40 so. Okay. Says the Gemara, v'ikra amma tikra v'amma maziva. 23 amos isn't enough, because remember, we had a Shar HaMayim, which has a somewhat of a roof on which they put the mikveh. So we need an amma for the tikra, for the actual ceiling. V'amma maziva, another amma for some sort of cement insulation for keeping the water in place. So it gives you another 2 ammas. So you need 25. She'arim beis hamikdash kiven the shisha ninu. The she'arim beis hamikdash, since they were made of shisha, of marble, and they were strong and self-sufficient, b'mashu avdilu, the tikra, the ceiling needed to be very thin, very didn't have to be an amo, because it was made of strong material. So the tikru is very thin, and the mazib are very, very thin. You don't need to have another 2 amos. It says, well, we still have something there, but you had that little bit to add to the 23, over which the water had to rise. Kiven the lehavai amza, since this extra little bit doesn't add up to an amo, Abai, you didn't add it to the calculation, but you're right. Technically, you need a bit more than 23. You need 23. Aside from the tikr and the maziva, so it's 23 and a bit. Continues the Gemara, appears to sudden shabbats. Mishnah tells us, in preparation for tefillah, they would spread a linen sheet to protect the Kohen Gadol, protect his dignity. They bring the Rambam. The Rambam says that a Kohen Gadol required a special measure of honor and respect. We have to be mechabed him. Therefore, they would cover up the area in preparation for the tefillah. Mishnah shabbats, fine, they needed a sheet, but why made of linen? Just as Rav Kahana said later in the second tefillah, the reason why they used sudden shabbuts was kadei shiyakir, shavoides hayoyim bevigdei putz, so that the Kohen Gadol becomes mindful, pays attention to the fact that some of the avoides today will be conducted differently than throughout the year. Today's avoides, at least some of them, are done with white begadim, linen begadim. That's why we spread the sheet to get him focused. Hachanam here as well, regarding the first tefillah, the same teretz can be applied. We spread a linen sheet, sheyakir, shavoides hayoyim bevigdei putz, so he does pay attention to that fact as well. Continues the Gemara, pashat, so he removed his bigdei choyl, yorad, he went down, v'tavel, and was tavel. Olay came back up in his tapok, and he wiped himself dry. Now why does the Mishnah have to speak about wiping dry? There are several pshatim. Some explain to avoid chatzitza, because the wetness will create a barrier between the begadim and the kohen, and the begadim are meant to be flush on the flesh of the kohen. That's one pshat. Another pshat is practically the moisture might ruin the begadim. And a third pshat, interesting pshat, Yom Kippur today. He's meant to engage in inui, not meant to wash yourself. So he's meant to minimize the pleasure effect, and therefore dry yourself immediately after coming up from the mikvah. In either case, he came up, in his topic, he dried up. They presented him with his 8 begadim. Some of them were zav. V'lavash, he donned the new set of begadim. B'kidish yadav v'raglav, and he washed his hands and feet from the kir, which was a requirement upon every switch of clothing. They presented him with his carbon tamid kratzai. Kratzai is a very unique term. It's referring to a shechita, but he couldn't complete the entire shechita. We'll see in a second why. So he did most of the shechita, until the point where it was halachically accepted as a shechita, most of the simanim. And then he let go. Umirek, and somebody else completed, Mirek is Lashon, completed. Umirek Acher, another Kohen came along and completed the shechita al yaday, on his behalf. Kibbalas Adam. Then the Kohen Gadol immediately proceeded to the next stage, Kabbalas Adam. And that explains why he couldn't complete the entire shechita process, because he himself had to do the Kabbalah as well. Something which was unique to Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol had to do all the avoides, Shechita and Kabbalah, which was somewhat impractical, because as soon as he begins the Shechita, the dam begins flowing. So he had to hurry up, do part of the Shechita until the point where it's acceptable as a Shechita, let go, have somebody else take over, and then run right over with the Kli to be Mekabel the dam. So he was Mekabel the dam. Uz Rokai, he did Zrikas Adam, and then proceeded to the other avoides. Nichnas, Lachtik Teris Shachar. He went into the Heichal to be makted the first dose of Teres, the morning Teres. Ulaitev Saneres, to clean out the Neres of the Benoira. Ula Hakrib, Vesaroish, Vesaivorim, to be makrib all the Chalokim, the Ivorim of the Tamid, Vesachavitin, his carbon Chavitin, Vesayayin, wine, which was part of the Minchas and Sachim of the carbon Tamid. So the Teres was between Zrika of Dama Tamid and the Akravis Ivorim. Continues the Mishnah. Keteris shel shachar. In fact, the morning keteris was ha'isa kreva bein dam leivar, came between the dam and the ivarim of the tamid, as we just explained. This was different than the keteris shel bein arbaim. Shel bein arbaim, over there, it was set up differently. The keteris was between bein ivarim, between the ivarim of the carbon tamid, and the nusachim of the carbon tamid, as the Gemara will elaborate on further. So we had the seder of the avodas tamid, the keteris, etc. Concludes the Mishnah. We spoke about the Kohen Gadol being Tovel Yom Kippur. If the Kohen Gadol happened to be an elderly fellow, or one who was sensitive to cold, So what would they do to make for a convenient tefillah in this freezing cold mikvah coming from Ayin Itam, this fresh spring water? Mechamen lechamen, they would actually preheat some water before Yom Kippur. Umatilin lesechatzoinen, come Yom Kippur, they would pour it into the cold water of the mikvah. Kedei shetafig tzinasim, so that it would remove the bite, the chill of the mikvah, and would allow it to be tefillah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Seven lines from the top of the Amud Masnisan. He would be Tovel. And afterwards, it says, Venistapik. He would wipe himself dry. Mes'atev ba'alunta shalbeged. He would wipe himself, wrap himself with a some sort of material. Lisfeg mayim shalbsorai. He would use his towel to absorb the mayim which was on him. Venistapik means Venistkaneach. He would wipe himself dry. Interesting, Zalacha, that one is not allowed to be seichet sa'aris on Shabbos. One may not wring water, liquid, out of hair on Shabbos. It's a big shaila what to do on Shabbos, if one is tevil on Shabbos, how do you go about drying oneself? So it's interesting that in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasi brings from Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach, who says, if he's drying himself into a towel, in which case the water is going li'ibud, it's going to waste, and it's not really visible, it's going straight into the towel. The intent here is not to create water, just to dry oneself, and he says it's mutter. I heard from Shlomo Miller Shlita, he says that the best way would be to follow the Ben Ish Chai's approach. Ben Ish Chai says one should just surface dry himself, tap dry. Take the towel and just gently tap on one's hair to absorb the surface liquid, but not to go deeper than that, to actually wring out the hair. It's interesting to note that Rashi, it takes great pains to go into the arichas here. Mis'tapik, mis'atev, baluntis. You could just say, dries himself. He describes in great detail that he would wrap himself with a beged. Perhaps trying to circumvent this discussion, this shaila of schita on his hair. That's why he'd do it in an indirect way. Just wrap himself. And mela, the water would just get absorbed into the beged by itself. Perhaps. That we pshat in Rashi. I actually saw from the Be'er Moshe, the Betzina Rav, He says the answer is poshut. The Kohen Gadol, the Gemara Sanhedrin says the Kohen Gadol would take a haircut once a week. So he didn't have much hair to worry about, and there was no concern about schita on his hair. In any case, continues Rashi. V'kiddush yodav v'raglav. So after the tefillah, he would do kiddush yodayim v'raglayim, rinse his hands and feet from the kir, min hakir. And that was required for every switch of clothing. Every time he switched out of begadim and switched into new begadim, he would have to go through this process, be mekadesh, Yodayim Raglayim from the Kir. Kedil of Kamon. It's more learned from the Pasuk. Shetzorach l'chol chalifa. He speaks the Ayoyim. Kiddush l'fshita. V'kiddush l'levisha. Every time he would switch, he would have to have a double Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. One in honor of the switching out process, the fshita. And one in honor of the new begadim, the new set of clothing. If that's the case, so why over here in the Mishnah we only discuss one Kiddush? Answers Rashi. Very poshut. In this case, he's switching out of ordinary begadim. Therefore, there's no need to make kiddush on account of that switching out. The undressing doesn't need a kiddush. A kiddush is only required if it involves bigdei kodesh. That explains why in our Mishnah, he undresses without a kiddush. But then when he puts on the new begadim, which are bigdei kodesh, a kiddush, yodayim, v'raglayim is required. Kagadah proceeds to the carbon tomet, kratzai, farsh, we can mark exactly what that means. Umirik acher v'gomar, koyin acher shchita. A koyin comes along and fills in, completes the shchita. Why? Why couldn't the koyin gadol complete the entire shchita? Lafish ein kabbalas adam k'shera el b'koyin gadol. Because not only does the koyin gadol have to do the shchita, he also has to do the Kabbalah Saddam. V'tzorach l'mar l'kabel. He has to hurry up to get to the dam before it spills onto the floor. So he can't allow himself the liberty, the luxury of completing the entire shechita. He has to stop midway, as soon as it's halakhically acceptable, and have another kohen take over. And then the kohen gadol hurries over to do the Kabbalah. It's interesting to note that there's actually a machlekes rishonim. The Baal Amor maintains, indeed, that everything on Yom Kippur had to be done through the Kohen Gadol. Even the carbon tabet, which was not really uniquely a Yom Kippur carbon. It's a carbon that you brought every day. Still, you had to do everything through the Kohen Gadol. And it seems that Rashi follows that shita. The Mechamas Hashem, on the other hand, the Ramban, he disagrees. He says the Kohen Gadol is only needed for karbonets which are Yom Kippur specific, as opposed to Karbon Tamid, which although was done through a Kohen Gadol, but didn't need a Kohen Gadol. Rashi's mashma that it had to be done through a Kohen Gadol. He says she'ein kabbalas hadam k'sher elo Kohen Gadol. He seems to be following the shita of the Baal Meor that all karbonets on Yom Kippur needed to be done strictly through the Kohen Gadol. So he begins the shchita process, and another, the next kohen comes along and completes the shchita al yodeh. What does al yodeh mean? B'shvilo, on account of him, on his behalf. Means on behalf of oneself. Another pshat al yodeh is al yodeh lashon achrav. It means close by, following. V'samachlei ha'harbi yesh b'sefer Ezra al yodeh hechzek plein esachim. Continues Rashi. K'toresh ha'shachar. He is a craver, more fires. Why did they follow his order? And the Mishnah concludes, how did they somewhat warm up the mikvah? Machamen lechamen, be'er v'yam kippurim. They would do so from every kippur, or matil v'yam kippurim, l'soich chakak, binyan beis tefilasoi. And then on yam kippur, they would place it in some sort of crevice in the mikvah, and then mix it in. Shetafig lahomer miyatzin asa, to alleviate the chill. B'miktas, k'may v'yafak liboi. This is in Parshas Vayigash. When Yaakov heard the good news that Yosef is alive, Pasuk says Vayafak Liboy. The Ramban describes it somewhat as a heart attack. So Vayafak means that it stopped functioning. It lost its power. Mefig and Taman is another similar example. It lost its potency, its flavor. Verechale Nomer, it didn't lose its reach. Metargeminan Verechale Pug, it didn't lose its reach. So Pug we see means losing its power, and here it means to remove some of the power, the chill of that spring water in his mikvah. Back to the Gemara. Amru Rabbanon Kameid Rapapa. Rapapa's Talmidim asked him like this. Hodlik Rab Meir. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in line with Lishitas Rabbi Meir. Let's just stop for a moment. We have Machlekes, which is going to be discussed later in the Gemara, between Rab Meir and Rabban. We're going to learn from a Pasuk that whenever the Kohen Gadol would switch from one set of Gadolim to the other, he would have to be Tevel and also conduct a double Kiddush Yudayim Reglaim. He had to rinse his hands and feet twice from the Kir on account of that switching ceremony. The question was, how do we go about it? How do we establish the sequence of events? Rabbi holds, it was like this. On account of switching out, no kiddush is required. He would be poshet his old begadim and then proceed to the new begadim as follows: kiddush yadayim reglaim in anticipation of the new begadim, to sort of prepare him for the new begadim. Then he would be loivish the new set of begadim and then complete that process with another kiddush yadayim reglaim while he's already wearing those begadim. That confirms the levisha that helps him relate, so to speak, to the new begadim. So, according to our mayor, it would seem both Kiddush Yadayim Raglaims were directed at the new set of Gadam, one prior and one after. According to Rabbanan, it was different. First you do be Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim, and then be Poshet the old Gadam, then be Leivish the new Gadam, then be Mekadosh again. Which would seem to indicate the point and purpose of the first Kiddush was in honor of the Pshita. It was kind of bidding farewell to the old Gadam. The next Kiddush was in honor of the Levisha. So according to Rameir, it would seem both Kiddush were directed at the Levisha and unrelated to the Peshitta, to switching out from the old Begadim. According to Rabbanan, the first Kiddush was directed at the Peshitta, the switching out process, whereas the second Kiddush was directed at the Levisha process. Now, in our Mishnah, we learn that the Kohen Gadol would switch out of what? Of Bigdei Chayil, put on the Big Day Kodesh, which were presented to him, the Big Day Zav, and then do Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. What happened to the two Kiddush Yadayim Raglaims? There was only one Kiddush in our Mishnah. Why? So according to Rabban, we understand perfectly well why the first Kiddush was missing. You know why? Because he never switched out of Big Day Kodesh. Kiddush is only required when he's switching out of Big Day Kodesh. Now Mishnah, he switched out of Big Day Chayil into Big Day Kodesh. So the second Kiddush, on account of the Big Day Kodesh, is required. But only one Kiddush. You don't need another one on account of switching out. Oh, Big Day Chayil. So our Mishnah is fully in line with the Rabbanan, but not in line with Rabbi Meir, who seems to hold that both Kiddushes are applied to the Levisha. In which case, even when he's switching out of Chol into Kiddush, he would need a double Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. One before wearing the Nubgadim, one after he put them on. Hadlik Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Meir. Because according to him, Kivon de Amar Trei Kiddushi, Ah, Levisha Avedu, because according to Rabbi Meir, was that both Kiddush were applied to the Levisha of the Nubugadim, Hachanami. In our case as well, he should need two Kiddushim for the Levisha, because he's putting on Big Day Kiddush. He needs one Kiddush prior to the Maaser Levisha and one following. Apparently, our Mishnah is not in line with Rabbi Meir, rather, following the Rabbanan Shita. The first Kiddush was directed at the Pshita, at the switching out, at the removal of the old begotten. And in this case, where he's removing Big Day Chol, we don't need that Kiddush. Therefore, we only need one Kiddush on account of the new begotten Big Day Kiddush on the Levisha. Amar Rav Papa, no, I disagree. Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rav Meir. According to all Shitas, Chad Apshita, the Big Day Kiddush. The first Kiddush comes on account of removing the Big Day Kiddush. V'chad Alavish. And the second Kiddush comes on account of donning the new begotten. There's no disagreement as far as perspective, as far as designation. All Shitas agree that the first Kiddush is coming in honor of the Pshita to enhance, facilitate the removal of the Big Day Kiddush. And the second Kiddush is coming on account of the Levisha, the new set of garments that he's putting on now. And therefore, the first Kiddush only applies when he's removing Big Day Kiddush, as opposed to our Mishnah, where what is he removing? Big Day Chol. And therefore, that first Kiddush is not required. Now Mishnah could be following both Shittas. Oh, that's the case. So what's the disagreement to remain the Rabbanan? It's not a question of designation or perspective. Both Shittas agree. The reason why there are two Kiddushi Yadayim Raglayim, one is on account of switching out, in honor of the old Begadim, which is removing, and one on account of the new Begadim, which are arriving now. So why is there a difference in the sequence, in the Seder? Says Rav Papa, I'll tell you, very posh, it's based on a Pasuk. The Seder is derived from a Pasuk. V'achabaka miflugi. The machlok is based on the pasuk. U'pashat v'rachatz v'lavash. And we learn from this pasuk that the rechitzo, you notice the word rechitzo is situated between a pashat, removing of the old begadim, and v'lavash, putting on the new begadim. We learn a drasha that both need a kiddush. Removal requires a kiddush, and dressing the new begadim requires a kiddush. So it's a question of sequence. Rameir savar, makish pshita l'levish. Let's make a hekesh between switching out and switching in. Ma levisha, just as the kiddush yodayim raglayim associated with the new begadim takes place when, all agree, takes place after he put on the new begadim. We're going to see later in the sugi why. So ma levisha, just as when it comes to the levisha, when does that kiddush take place? Loivesh, first he switches into the new begadim, v'achach mekadosh, and then follows with the kiddush. So he does the maisa, and then the kiddush. Likewise, when it comes to the Kiddush associated with the removal, Poshet, first he removes, V'achach Mekadosh, and then does Kiddush. They're trying to explain. First comes the Iker, and then the Tafel. First the Maisa. The Maisa Kiddush. The Maisa Pshita. And then comes the Kiddush. The Maisa Levish, and then comes the Kiddush. That's what comes to your mayor. You do it in that order. You Poshet, then you Mekadosh on account of the Pshita. You Levish, and you Mekadosh on account of the Levish. But Rabbanan Sabri, they put it differently. They say, Makish Pshita Levisha. Once again, we connect the two things. Removal, switching out to switching in. But we do it a bit differently. Ma Levisha, Kshu Lovish Mekadosh. Just as the Kiddush associated with wearing the new Begadim takes place when? Once he's already wearing the Begadim. It's not Mestavar, says Tez Yishanam, that he's going to do Kiddush when he's undressed. So in any case, it's coming to honor the new Begadim while the Begadim are already being worn. Pshita, likewise, when it comes to the Kiddush associated with undressing, Kshu Lovish Mekadosh. When does the Kiddush take place? When he's still wearing them. Therefore, according to Rabbanan, we switch things around a bit. We do Kiddush while he's wearing, then he's Pshit, and then he's Lovish, and then he's Mekadosh again. So according to this approach of Rav Papa, our Mishnah could work according to all Shittas. Why? Because both Ramei and Rabbanim both agree that the first Kiddush is directed at the old set of Begadim. The second Kiddush directed at the new set of Begadim. In our Mishnah, where the old set of Begadim is Big Day Chayil, no Kiddush is required for that. And therefore, only one Kiddush is needed in our Mishnah. Hamali Rabban Rav Papa. The Rabban responded to him, you can't say that. How can you say that? How can you propose that both Ramei and Rabbanon agree on perspective? It's just a question of sequence. In which case, even according to Ramei, in a case where you're switching out of Chol to Kiddush, such as now Mishnah, only one Kiddush is required, but it's not so. We have a Brisa, a clear Brisa, which indicates otherwise. That according to Ramei, when you're switching from Chol to Kiddush, you need twice Kiddush. Batanya, pairs with sudden shabbuts, beinoyd binam. He spread this linen sheet, pashat. He removed his big dechol, viyarat, vetaval, Allah, in his tapok. He wiped himself dry. Heavy lo big dezav. They presented him with the big dezav. Velavash. He got dressed. Vekiddush ad viraglav. He did kiddush. Only one kiddush. Why? Because the removal of the old begotten doesn't require kiddush. The big dechol. He only needs one Kiddush on account of the Levish of Bidei Kiddush. That's Rabbanu Shit. Rav Meir Aymer, you need two Kiddush. Pashat, he removed the Bidei Chol, V'Kiddush Yad V'Raglov. And then, V'Yorad, V'Tavol, Ola, V'Nestapog. And then he got the new Begadim. Hevilo Bidei Zav, V'Lavash, V'Kiddush Yad V'Raglov. It's clear that according to Rav Meir, even when he's switching out of Chol to Kiddush, twice Kiddush is required. Why? Apparently, there's a difference of perspective between Rabbi and the Rabbanon. Whereas Rabbanon hold that we split the Kiddush as follows. The first Kiddush is on account of undressing, which doesn't apply to Bidei Chol. The second one is on account of the new Begadim. And therefore, now Mishnah, only one Kiddush is required because he's switching out of Chol to Kiddush. Only the second Kiddush on account of the Levisha. According to Rameir, it's different. Very different. Bryce to tell us, according to Rameir, twice Kiddush is required. Even in this case, when he's going from Chol to Kiddush, apparently, it's pretty clear that according to our mayor, they look at it, he looks at it differently. The twice Kiddush were on account of the new set of Begadim. Unrelated to the undressing process, to the switching out process. It was related to switching into the new set of Begadim. As follows, one Kiddush prior to the Maisa Levisha, to prepare him, to enable him to be Levish, and one, once he's wearing it already. On account of the covet of the begotten, to have him absorb the begotten, so to speak. But they both relate to the new set of begotten. So our Mishnah, which only requires one Kiddush, is apparently not following Rav Meir's Shita. He would hold that even in our Mishnah, we're switching from Chol to Kiddush, you need twice Kiddush in honor of the new Big Day Kiddush. So this was the Rabbanon responding to Rav Papa. Amar Lu, so he responded, he conceded. E Tanya, if it says so on a Braisa, Tanya, okay, I concede. It was just a suggestion, but if it's clear, if it's clearly stated otherwise, then fine. Says the Gemara, Bishlam the Rameir, we learned in the Mishnah that Kohen Gadol will have 5 tefillahs and 10 times Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So whenever there was a switchover, one set of gun to the other, he would do tefillah and Kiddush twice. Bishlam the Rameir, according to Rameir, we understand how he got to number 10. Hainu de Meshkachas Lasor. We understand how he gets to number 10. Why? Let's think of it. Like this. He went 5 times into Big Day Kiddush. He started with Big Day Chayil. Switched into the Big Day Zav, which according to Ramei requires double Kiddush. Right? According to Ramei, we just concluded, the double Kiddush is on account of the new Begadim. One prior to the Levisha, one after the Levisha. So when he switches to Big Day Zav, it's 2. It's to Big Day Lavan, it's 2. To the next Big Day Zav is 2. Big Day Lavan is 2. And the final Big Day Zav will have 2 Kiddush. That's how it gets to number 10. El Rabban Tisha. But according to Rabban, we only come up with 9 opportunities for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Why? Because according to Rabbanon, the Kiddush is distributed as follows. 1 on account of removal, switching out. And 1 on account of switching in. So the first time, the one described now in Mishnah, only required 1 Kiddush. There was no Kiddush on account of switching out, because it was Big Day Chayil. So switching into Big Day Zav the first time required one Kiddush. The next switch into Big Day Lavan required two. One on account of removing the Big Day Zav, one on account of switching to Big Day Lavan. The next time around, Big Day Zav, again two. Next time, Big Day Lavan, again two. The next time, into Big Day Zav, required again two, which gives us nine in total. But you get ten. Amar lech Rabban, Rabban will respond, Kiddush Basra, you know where the last Kiddush takes place? Ki Pashat Big Day Kiddush. V'lav Kiddush Big Day Chayil. When he removed the Big Day Kiddush and put on his own private, non-Kiddush clothing, after the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, Avodah Hasam, that's where he did the Kiddush. So the Gemara in the Kasha figured, Kiddush Nayim Raglayim is only meant to enable him to do Avodah. But once he's done the Avodah, he's already finished and completed the entire Seder Yom Kippurim, why would he do another Kiddush Nayim Raglayim? The Gemara concludes, yeah. Apparently, even though he's done his Avodah, but he will make another Kiddush on account of removing the Big Day Zav. Because remember, according to Rabbanon, one Kiddush is required always on account of removal. So even though he's done Avodah Yom Kippurim, he's about to switch into Big Day Chayil, one Kiddush is yet to be done. That's the 10th Kiddush, on account of removing the Big Day Zav. Okay, time for Rib Chazara. We had a discussion regarding the Tefillah, which the Rabbanon required upon entering the Azara. The question was, does Chatzitza interfere? The answer was, it does. Bia b'miktzas, a partial entry, is that considered? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. What about if he's outside but engaged in avodah, such as doing shechita with a long knife? We left that unresolved. We learned that the tefillah and kippur generally took place in the Azara, as we learned from our pasuk makam kadosh, except for the first one, which was outside, on top of Shaar HaMayim, which was 23 amos plus above the Azara level, which proved to us that this Ein Itam spring, which came from the next mountain, was also sourced at a high point, 23 amos plus above the Azara level, to allow for the water to gravitate to its former level up on the mikvah, on top of the Shaar HaMayim. We had a Mishnah, which discussed the Seder of the Tumet. He was Tevel, he wore the Big Day Zav, he Kiddush Nayim Raglayim. He did a partial Shechita, proceeded to the Kabbalah, to the Ketores, Heitev HaSaneiros, Makriv the Eivarim, Chavitin, Yain. We discussed the fact that it would alleviate the chill from that mikvah. And we concluded that apparently our Mishnah is not in line with Rav Meir, because the Gemara concludes that although both Rav Meir and Rabbanu require two times Kiddush Nayim Raglayim when switching into new begadim, however, according to Rav Meir, both Kiddush pertain to the new set of clothing. In which case, when he's switching from Chol to Kiddush, he would still have to have two Kiddush. Whereas our Mishnah says, there's only one Kiddush. Apparently we found Shittas Rabbanu, who maintain that the first Kiddush was related to the Pshita, and only the second Kiddush was related to the Levisha. And therefore, when he's switching from Chol to Kiddush, you only need one Kiddush on account of the Big Day Kiddush that he's putting on. The Gemara concluded with the Cheshbon, how we turn up with 10 times Kiddush in Dan Raglayim throughout Yom Kippur, both according to our Meir and according to the Rabban. Take care and Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.